This season, we all think about giving back to others. This year, please don't forget about KPFT. Remember all that KPFT gives you. Whether you listen every day or you listen to us via podcast or streaming, we share what is great in Houston. Just visit kpft.org anytime before the end of the year to donate. Your gift at kpft.org will help share the programming you love to those who need it most. Please visit kpft.org right now to give your tax-deductible gift. Thanks. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston.
Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch signals Thursday, 10 p.m., and time for So What's Your Story? The only program originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling, right here on listener-sponsored 90.1 KPFT Houston. Hello, I'm Warren Holloman, your host, along with Jacob Reiner, working the boards. Say hi, Jacob.
Hi, how you doing tonight, Warren?
Oh, I'm a little bit nervous.
You'll be fine.
Well, you and Hank and Greg and all the team have been so kind and helpful, and I really appreciate it. Speaking of the team, if you're a regular listener to the show, you'll know that Dr. Hank Rubicek is the show's longtime host, going all the way back to 2008 when he originated So What's Your Story? You'll also know that Dr. Hank recently invited Greg Audell, Laura Scheinkoff, and me to join him in co-hosting the show. The three of us have been guest storytellers, but now we're moving over to a different chair and a different microphone. Greg generally will host the first Thursday of the month. I'll take the second, Laura the third, and Hank will anchor the team on the fourth Thursday of the month. Like any KPFT programmer, each of us has his day jobs we love, most days anyway. Then we come here to engage in what we love even more, and that's storytelling. My own day job is in the Texas Medical Center, where I work with a wellness program for the employees of UTMD Anderson. I'm also a family therapist, and I write a blog about work-life balance, stress management, stuff like that. It's called Work Well, Be Well. But what Greg, Laura, Hank, and I all have in common is that we love to tell stories, and we love to hear other people tell stories. And if you're listening, I'll bet you love stories as well. As children, perhaps we loved hearing stories from our grandparents. Perhaps we loved hearing them from our rabbis and preachers and teachers. Perhaps we love the stories told to us on television and in the movies. Some of us love The Lone Ranger, others All in the Family. Some of us loved John Wayne movies. For others, maybe it was Walt Disney or Woody Allen or the Coen brothers. What all these shows and movies had in common was a compelling narrative that drew us in and gave us something to think about. Speaking of compelling narratives, and speaking of John Wayne, our guest tonight is one of Houston's most prolific storytellers. If you've ever been to Rudyard's for grown-up story time, to the Beta Theater's monthly sessions, or to the Moth, you know the young artist seated next to me now. John Wayne Cominahl, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm okay. Thanks so much for coming in.
Absolutely, it's my pleasure.
Yeah. I've got to ask, before we can go any further, how did you manage to come up with such a great name?
Well, I didn't necessarily have too much of a choice in it. My dad is a big John Wayne fan, yeah. so here I am, and it's a blessing and a curse all in one.
It's a lot to live up to.
It's a lot in that my first name is John Wayne, and that's what I go by. And when I meet anybody, every introduction comes with this preamble where I have to explain, no, that's my first name. No, it's not my middle name and my first name. No, I don't go by John. And then people think that I'm mistaken, and I don't know that that's my name. And they're like, so what's your middle name? And I'm like, I don't have one. And then they said, so Wayne's your middle name. I'm like, then we have to start at the top again. You see how it just goes on from there. So,
yeah.
You know.
Well, I'm from Eastern North Carolina, where everybody has two first names. So
yeah. So
I get it.
See, I don't know. You know, you're one of the good ones, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you've got a great name, and I think you're a great storyteller, too.
Thank you.
Let's kick off the show by having you tell us that nail biter you told at The Moth a few months ago entitled, Don't Be That Guy.
All right. So, I love weed. I love weed a lot. I love to get high, and I'm high right now. So it should come as no surprise to you that within 2 weeks of marijuana becoming legal in Colorado, I was on a plane with my girlfriend headed to Denver. As soon as we got to Denver, the first thing we did was go to a dispensary where I purchased some very high-grade sativa. And then we went to our hotel, which was a very quaint nine-story classic hotel in the middle of downtown Denver. So we go up to our room, which is on the ninth floor, and I proceed to roll three of the most beautiful joints that I have ever rolled in my life. I think that just being in Colorado, I was blessed with, just imbued with power. So I turn to our window, which opens in these old hotels, and I open the window, and I take out my lighter, which is a purple lighter that has a picture of a cartoon dolphin on it. Put it on the windowsill. Turn around to the desk to grab a joint, and turn back just in time to see my lighter slide off the sill and out the window. No problem. Ask my girlfriend if she has a lighter, and she doesn't. There's got to be matches in the room. It's a hotel, I figure. I look around, no matches. So I peek my head out the window, and I look down, and I see the lighter is just on the ledge right below the window. It's only about like 3 feet down, so I'm like, I got this. I said to my girlfriend, I think I can get down there and get the lighter. Before she can even protest or cheer me on, I'm already backing out the window and lowering myself down the wall, holding onto the sill. I get to where I'm hanging, fully extended, and my feet aren't touching the ledge before I realize that it was a lot lower than just 3 feet off. So I figure it's got to be right below my feet. So I let go of the windowsill. This is, again, where I was wrong on judging the distance, because it wasn't just below my feet. It was at least another 2 foot drop. So I hit the ledge, and just my knees bend, and I bounce back off of the side of the building. So, just instinct, survival skills kick in, and I just throw my hands up above my head and manage to catch the side of the ledge. So now I'm hanging from the side of a nine-story building, and the only thought that's going through my head as I hang there is, if I fall, I am going to single-handedly set back the marijuana movement in this country decades, decades. Don't be that guy, I told myself. So I swung to the left and then swung back to the right and used my force to kick my leg up, and I was able to catch the side of the ledge with my foot. Then I used the balance and just pulled myself up with my hands and was able to get the leverage I needed to pull myself up, and now I'm standing on the ledge, and I look up at the window, and it is a lot higher than I thought it was. So I realize now if I stand on this ledge any longer, I'm going to absolutely freak out. So I look between my legs, see the lighter, pick it up, throw it up through the window, jump straight up, and just catch the windowsill with the tips of my fingers. Pull myself up, then reach forward to get a better grip, pull myself up further through the window, into the room. I scrape through my pants. My legs have huge just gashes on them from scraping across the windowsill. And the first thing I did when I hit the floor was grab that joint, and I smoked it. And then I smoked the second joint, and then I smoked the third joint, and then I went downstairs to the sidewalk, and I stood underneath the window and looked up. And I'm so glad that I was not that guy.
Wow. That's absolutely incredible.
Well,
I think that's a scariest story I've ever heard.
Someone
who survived.
It was pretty terrifying after the fact. Wow. Initially, it all happens pretty quick. But yeah, it was pretty scary.
You said you were fully extended. You were hanging. You let go. Mm-hmm. You fell 2 feet onto a ledge. Mm-hmm. Another ledge.
To the ledge from the windowsill.
Wow.
And then just bounced back. Like, I just hit the ground and, like, kind of just jumped back.
And, wow. Yeah. Do you have a background in rock climbing or?
I don't.
Well, have you ever considered competing?
No. I think I'm just an X-Man, probably. No, I don't know. That was just all instinct, I guess. Or the weed gods just blessed me.
Wow.
I have no idea.
So when you tell that story, does it recreate the trauma or does it help you deal with it? What happens inside your head when you're telling that story?
I don't know if I had like necessarily trauma about it. I told it as soon as when I got back, of course I told it cuz I thought it was really funny. Uh-huh. But thinking about it, it really was terrifying, absolutely terrifying. But since I lived,
yeah,
I look at it like I made it. I tricked you, God. I got here. I'm still here, you know, so I can just tell the story and laugh now. But,
right.
You know.
Was there ever a point, well, you said when you were out on the ledge, one of the things that motivated you was that you didn't want to set back the marijuana movement.
Right.
You didn't want to be that guy.
Yeah, I didn't want to be the tourist that comes to Colorado that jumps out the window trying to get his lighter to smoke his legal weed. Yeah, I
yeah.
did not want to be that guy.
Of course. Wow. Well, that's an incredible story.
Thanks.
If you're just joining us, this is Warren Holloman with Jacob Reiner, and you're listening to So What's Your Story? We're here with guest storyteller John Wayne Kaminal on listener-sponsored, corporate-free 90.1 FM KPFT Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.3 in Livingston. Jacob, you've been here a while. So please explain listener-sponsored to those of us who may not know what it means.
Well, it means we receive no support from the government or advertisers. All our support comes from you, our listeners. And without that support, we don't stay on the air. It's that simple. So during this holiday season, KPFT is asking our listeners to support independent radio, Specifica, by making a tax-deductible year-end contribution. You can call us right now at 713-526-KPFT and let us know that this program, which is always live, So What's Your Story, is worth keeping. To donate on our website, go to www.kpft.org, go to donations, and tell us how you want to pay. Then scroll to So What's Your Story.
What do you say we stop the show right now for about 5 minutes to field that flood of calls coming in? Just kidding, but we do have people standing by to take your call, and while they're doing that, I'm going to ask Jacob to share some exciting changes taking place with our sponsor, the Houston Storytellers Guild.
Yes, that's right. Starting in January, the Houston Storytellers Guild monthly story swaps will now be held on the fourth Tuesday of the month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Museum of Printing History at 1324 West Clay. This is near the intersection of Wad Drive and West Dallas. It is a beautiful venue. To get all the essential information, go to www.houstonstorytellers.org.
Thanks, Jake. The Museum of Printing History really is a cool venue. I live in this old house in the Third Ward, and shortly after moving in years ago, learned that a fairly famous artist had once lived there. I called the museum and asked if they knew where I might find samples of his works. Went over there. Not only were they able to tell me all about him, but they actually had prints of several dozens of his paintings and lithographs. So I bought one, and now it's hanging in my living room. All this to say that when you go to the Museum of Printing History, the fourth Tuesday night in January for the story swap, you'll get the ultimate twofer. Your ears will enjoy the stories, and your eyes will enjoy the art. Speaking of ears enjoying stories, Jacob, do you know what we've got going on for next week?
Yes, we have Rabbi Laura. She will be hosting, and her guest will be Sarah Gish, a Houston artist and mental health advocate. Sarah will be discussing her latest project, Ignite Your Life, a series of on-the-road video interviews and portraits.
Thanks, Jake. Now back to tonight's guest. John Wayne, you're such a prolific contributor to the Houston storytelling scene, so I was hoping we could take a couple of minutes tonight so that you could give us a tour of at least part of that scene to catch our listeners up on some of the storytelling opportunities that are out there. I was thinking maybe we ought to start with Rudyard's. And could you tell us about Rudyard's and Grown Up Storytime?
Yeah, of course. Grown Up Storytime is run by a very awesome theater and art collective here in Houston called Boo Town. And it's just one of the events they do. They do a lot of great stuff. They do a shadow puppet shows. They have one opening tonight, actually, called My Funny Bunny or Funny Bunny. And it's actually written and directed by my friend Jade. And they do things called benchy shows where they take the sound out of movies and redub it. They rewrite it, and it's funny. And they do a smaller version called Neo Benchy. That's just 5 to 6 minute clips of teams that do that. They do a lot of great stuff. At Grown Up Storytime is where I fit in with them. Mm-hmm. And it's basically kind of like, I would describe it as creative nonfiction writing, where you write a story about something that happened in your life, crazy, funny, sad, touching, you know.
Yeah.
And you submit it to them, and if they choose your story, they have a great selection of readers every month that are new, that are, you know, from the scene of comedians and musicians and other storytellers, and it's a really great event.
Mm-hmm. And when is it?
It's the third Tuesday of every month at Rudyard's.
What time?
There's an 8 o'clock show and a 10 o'clock show, and they usually sell out, so you got to get there a little bit early.
And where is Rudyard's?
Rudyard's is on Waugh, in Montrose, kind of, I guess you'd say.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And you say it sells out. How many people, how big a venue is it?
It's upstairs in Rudyard's where, like, kind of the venue area is. I'm really bad at that. I would say, like, it holds maybe 200 people,
close
to that, or something like that.
So, and that sells out. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really cool event.
Yeah. And you said the name of your group is Boo Town?
No, Boo Town is the group that puts that on.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not like, I don't run that part of running that in any way. I'm just a part of the family in that. I contribute and help out.
And how does that compare, say, to the Moth?
Well, the Moth, you get, they select you, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're familiar with the Moth being there. So, and you get up and actually tell the story. Mm-hmm. This is, you submit the story ahead of time and somebody else reads it. So you kind of get their interpretation of your story, which is actually really cool. Like, I've never really been disappointed. It's always neat to hear somebody else read your work, you know.
Cool. And then tell us about Beta Theater and something called Micro Satan.
Yes, Micro Satan. That's a comedic collective that I'm a part of, one of the writers for. And we put on a show every month at the Beta Theater, the third Friday of every month, called Good Evening with Connor and Billy. And it's a late night talk show format. And we have guests and characters and sketches. And I actually play the house band every week, myself and my drummer and a that we actually really play in a band called John Wayne is Dead, but we play this band on stage and we play people on and off and we have the theme song and all that kind of stuff. And
what instrument?
I play guitar and sing.
Guitar. Okay. And where is the Beta Theater?
Beta Theater is on Pierce. Uh-huh. It's right on the corner of Pierce 45. I'm not sure what the cross street is.
Okay. Is there a website or something, or wait, how would a person find it?
Just probably, yeah, I'm sure they have a website, Facebook, all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
BETA.
Okay.
And they have great events like almost every night. A lot of great improv, a lot of great shows and comedy they do there. It's awesome.
Great. Well, that's interesting stuff. If we have more time later, I'll ask you a couple more questions.
Sure.
But for now, I'd like to hear another story.
Absolutely. Do you know what a French exit is, Warren?
No, I don't.
No? A French exit. I was actually taught this by a very good friend of mine who's in this story with me. His name is Reverend Butter. And what a French exit is when you're at a party or an event or really anywhere and you just leave without saying goodbye to anybody.
Right.
It's a real great time saver, especially when there's a lot of people. You know, you go around, hug everybody, all that kind of stuff. Now you just want to leave. The thing about a French exit is you cannot say goodbye to anybody. You have to disappear. So I'm at this party with my friend, Reverend Butter, and his wife. And it's kind of a formal event, and we're in suits and ties and all that whole nine yards. And we decide, the three of us collectively, that it's time for us to make a French exit. We're done. We're ready to leave.
Right.
So we sneak outside. It wasn't hard. People were coming and going, so it wasn't like we looked like we, you know, vanished or anything out the door. The thing was is that the place we were at was surrounded by an 8-foot wrought iron fence with those spikes on top of all the rails. And to get in and out of this complex we were at, it had the fence, you had to type in the code at the front or pull up to it and it would open. Well, right. We didn't have any cars there because we parked down the street at a bar where everybody met and walked to the place.
Right.
So we mess with the gate a little bit to see if we can put it in a manual mode or something to open it, slide it open. We can't. We do not want to risk going back in and ruining this French exit. So I decide I can climb this fence. I'll get over the fence. I'll type in the code. Let us out. It'll be fine. So I jump on the box of little mechanics that work this fence, give myself a boost, grab between two spiky things at the top, mm-hmm. pull myself up onto the fence, and balance myself and stand on the top of the fence.
Mm-hmm. Which is 8 feet tall.
8 feet tall. So I'm standing up straight, keeping my balance, and that's another great realization when I'm like, this is really high. So I start judging it, and I'm looking at it, and I'm balancing between these two spike things on either side of my foot, and I'm like, I can jump. I'm going to do a tuck and roll, some kind of thing. I'll be fine. Mm-hmm. So I go to jump, and as I do, my right foot snags one of the undersides of the points, totally throwing off my momentum. And instead of going out, I now start to tip down. My shoe gets ripped through, and so now I'm totally loose of the fence, and I hit face first onto the ground. Followed right behind by my chest. So everything goes black, and then I see stars, and everything starts coming back. But I'm sure you've had the wind knocked out of you. Everybody has. I've never had the wind knocked out of me to this degree. So I'm, like, dazed, trying to suck breath in, and I just am all gnarled up, and I'm like... Butter's wife is freaking out. John Wayne, are you okay? Are you okay? I felt like... Since she was a nurse, I was in good hands, except she's on the other side of the fence. So she's yelling, we need to go get somebody. Butter's like, no, give him a minute, give him a minute. About 30 seconds later, I'm finally able to catch my breath. I start laughing, get myself up, punching the code, let them through. We're all laughing and hugging, can't believe that. My shoe is shredded, my foot is bleeding, I'm all dirty. And, instead of going home, we just walked down to the bar and had a few more beers because we figured we needed to come down off of that. So that was another just tale of one of my wonderful flights I've taken, I guess.
Wow. So what's worse, an eight-foot fence or a nine-story building?
I think the nine-story building was worse, yeah.
Yeah. But you actually were injured worse from the 8-foot.
You know, if you went away, physical and mental, I don't know. No. It hurt, but it was fine.
Yeah. Have you ever tried any... Was that before or after the Colorado?
That was actually before.
Okay.
So I told those out of order, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Chronologically.
Well, maybe that somehow prepared you.
Maybe. Silver lining.
Yeah.
I like that positive attitude. Thank you.
Yeah. No, that's pretty incredible. I still think there's a future for you and... The rock climbing.
Or daredeviling.
Yeah. That's incredible. Are most of your stories like this?
Most of my stories are about the crazy things that happen in my life. So,
yeah.
They don't all have to do with me almost dying or falling off of something, but, there's a lot of wacky things that go on.
Well, we had talked earlier about the nine lives, and I think you've just been through two of them.
Two, yeah, I would say that might be two.
Yeah.
At least one and a half, for sure.
Right. Stories from the edge, stories from the ledge.
That's good. That that's a good title.
Yeah.
I'm going to take that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Patent pending.
Yeah. Well, it's a great story, just like the other one. It was very easy to pay attention, and now I know what a French exit is. And
there you go.
As I said, I grew up in the South. The exit usually was 30 minutes because you did have to say goodbye to everybody.
Oh, yeah. And some people may tell you that's an Irish goodbye, but you can't trust those people.
Oh, okay. 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 So, John Wayne, I have to ask you, when you were growing up, who was the storyteller in your family?
Growing up, I would have to say my dad. My dad worked in sales for most of my young life, at least, and he would always go on these crazy sales calls. And one company he worked for, he called on one of the prisons in Huntsville. Mm-hmm. He would come home and just tell stories about his interactions with people there, with walking by prisoners, and he would, you know, do voices and be all boisterous and, you know, characterize the whole thing. So I think I probably picked that up from him, his many tales from the sales road, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like you're taking after your dad. What did you major in college?
English and creative writing.
And did anyone ever tell you you'll never do anything, be able to do anything with that?
Everybody told me that. Have you been talking to my mom? Did she call? No?
Okay. Well, I majored in pretty much the same thing, and so I heard it as well. It sounds like you're doing a lot with it. You're doing a lot of writing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't ask you about your music. Tell me about that.
I play in a punk rock band called John Wayne is Dead. It's two-piece punk rock. Kind of bare bones, super fast, kind of has a little rockabilly feel sometimes. And we play here, we play all over Texas, we've, you know, toured across the country, doing that kind of stuff. So.
And I also have to ask you about your book. I understand you have a new book coming out.
Could you
tell us about that?
Absolutely. It's a novella. It comes out January 4th. It's called The Porn Star Retirement Plan. It's from New Kink Books. And it's a story basically about a young man who has no hope or no drive to his life until he finds that his favorite porn star from when he was a kid is coming to his town to film a scene. And he puts in the lottery to be one of the actors in the scene, and he gets chosen. And all of a sudden, his life has meaning for this one event. He gets to the event. It's not anything like he expected and has actually... very crazy results that occur. But through that tragedy, he finds his purpose at the end.
Right.
So it's a feel-good story.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have this thing that the most important thing in life is finding our meaning and our purpose, and it sounds like this your character found that.
Oh, he does.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you had mentioned that the genre is called bizarro fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, bizarro fiction is it's kind of a hard. It's hard to explain sometimes, but the bare bones in a nutshell is horror sci-fi turned on its ear, super absurd, surreal, twists of humor in there all throughout. But it's just telling stories through that type of writing, basically.
Right.
So it's weird, it's odd, it's gross, it's funny, all those things.
But when you think back about the oldest stories there are, like the Iliad and the Odyssey, I think of them as bizarre in the sense that they have creatures with many heads and lots of crazy things happen. Is there any connection to that sort of thing, or am I just way off there?
Maybe a little from column A, a little from column B. those stories were bizarre in their own way, but they're not bizarre in the way that you move to a town and your house is run by a bunch of Satan-worshipping sex cultists. So, there you go.
Right. Well, it sounds fascinating. Thanks so much for being with us.
Awesome. No, thank you for having me. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it's great.
I hope
great.
We can get you back sometime.
Absolutely, man. Anytime.
Well, much too quickly, our time is up. I want to thank John Wayne for joining us tonight, for regaling us with your talent, and also telling our listeners about some of the really cool storytelling venues around our diverse and amazing city. I've enjoyed getting to know you, and I'm sure our listeners have as well. Scooter is next with the inner side to complete the backside of this Power Hour on KPFT. Make 90.1 a part of every day. And while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling, join us every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story. And ease into the weekend right. Keep loving a great story, and we'll keep bringing them to you. Be good to each other. Till next week, Hank, Greg, Laura, Jacob, John Wayne, and I remind you that it's never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.
Hi, I'm Vic Bedoyan of KFCF in Fresno, a longtime Pacifica affiliate station. I've been thrilled, enlightened, and mind-blown by the many wonderful Pacifica Radio Archive programs I've heard over the many years I've been listening. Listeners in the San Joaquin Valley love hearing the classic radio programs presented by the Pacifica Radio Archives. We thank you, the Pacifica listener, for supporting the work of the archives that means so much to us here in the California heartland. Please reach into your hearts and pocketbooks to support the important work done by the staff at the Pacifica Radio Archives It's an investment that will enrich you, your children, your grandchildren, and all of us far into the future. To make a pledge, please call 1-800-735-0255.